Continuing on with our series, Game Plan Your Next Job, we're going to focus again on the interview, a little bit different perspective this time. We have Butch Reiser, who is an HR leader. He's very experienced in the human resource world, but he's an expert interview and job coach, and he's done work for over 25 years in this area. He's done some work in the NFL with some of the prospects and preparing those guys for interviews, and we're excited to have him here on the podcast. So, Butch, thanks for joining us.
Thanks. I appreciate it, Keith. Looking forward to speaking with you.
Well, Butch, I gave kind of the highlights there. Fill our listeners in a little bit on how you got into this and specifically the things you do in athletics to help prepare coaches, athletes for the interviews they might have.
Sure. I played Division III football at Delaware Valley University in beautiful Doylestown, Pennsylvania. Coaches always asked me to show the new recruits around, so that's kind of how I got involved in that, and that's led me into HR, a career in HR for almost 30 years now. And over the last 10 years, I've always had a passion for sports and trying to give back, so I've always helped people with their resumes and interviewing tips. And then I started getting more involved, work with athletes, did some work. I continue to do some work with Georgia Sports Performance here in Atlanta, and they prepare guys for the NFL Combine. So I've been helping some of those guys the last couple of years with the Wunderlich test, as well as how to prepare for an interview with NFL executives. I've also helped college coaches. Eric Martin's the assistant Western Virginia basketball coach. I do a lot of work with him as he's preparing to hopefully move on to the next level as well. I also help student athletes, high school kids, as we know, the communication skills, there's opportunities there with technology. So having worked with high school kids, how do you prepare for an interview? If Nick Saban's coming to town and he wants to meet with you, what are you going to say? So that's a little bit about my background, something I really enjoy, and hopefully I can give your listeners some good tips.
Well, Butch, let's get right into it. And when we think about the interview, and you know, I actually just spent the last few days here. We're interviewing for a position for someone on our executive team. And one of those first questions, whether it's for a position like that or it's a position for a coach, is tell me about yourself. So first of all, Butch, what is the opportunity here in a tell me about yourself question, and how do you attack that?
Great. So, yeah, typically that's usually like the layup question. And people might take that question for granted. Oh, that's an easy one. And where folks go wrong, they don't want a lot of information about your personal life and this and that. What the hiring manager, athletic director, president, or coach is looking for is how you can solve their problem. So what I do is the methodology kind of I use is use your fingers to guide you through that answer. So you would start with your thumb, so that would be your foundation. So start with your education and experience. So, for example, you know, I have my MBA from XYZ University, and I have over 20 years of high school and college coaching experience. And then the next would be your pointer finger, so that would be kind of your expertise. So if you're applying for, you know, defensive coordinator position, you want to talk about your expertise, work with defensive linemen, running linebackers, and so on. And then your middle finger and ring finger would be what I call those transferable skills. So depending upon the school, the job description, if there is one, you can kind of figure out what their, what I call core competencies, those nuggets that they're really looking for. So are they looking for a strong communicator, leadership skills, recruiter? So whatever they're kind of focusing on, you want to make sure you highlight those areas in your own skill set. And then the last thing would be your pinky. So what additional value can you bring to the school? So if it's a high school position, what other classes can you teach? If it's a college position, maybe your work with boosters or alumni. Obviously, recruiting's a big part. So whatever little additional value, your network and so on, that you can bring to the position, that would set you apart from the competition, because it comes down to it's a competition. So who are you going up against for the position, and how are you going to sell yourself and set yourself apart? And that answer needs to be about a minute and a half to 2 minutes. A lot of people kind of ramble on for minutes and tell about, you know, their whole life story and so on. But really, it's about a 2 minute is the sweet spot. And then if the interviewer wants to probe a little bit further, then they'll tell you, okay, tell me a little bit more about your coaching philosophy or whatever.
And for our coaches out there who maybe haven't been through the head coach type of interview before, you know, what can they expect from here? What direction does it usually go, and what tips do you have to you know, really to keep them rolling and keep them into a flow throughout this interview?
Yeah, so the best interview is a dialogue, communication going back and forth. There's probably, you know, 5 to 10 basic questions that you need to be prepared for. What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? Another big question is, you know, why do you want to coach at this school or this program? One of the tips that I give is the first thing you want to do with that question, that's typically, I would say, probably the number two question. Why this job? Why this program? So how I would recommend somebody answer that question is, first, you want to talk about how you admire the school, admire the program. So whether it's their academic excellence or their history or their graduation rate, the community. So whatever positives you know about that school based on your research and your homework, start off with the admiration first. And then the second part would be talk about how the position would be a challenge, how you'll grow from it as a, in a personal perspective. You want to be part of a winning team, community, organization. And then the last thing, going back to the values. So again, what value would you bring to that position, to that staff, to that school? So that's, again, most answers, I want to say minute and a half to 2 minutes. Again, it's kind of where you want to focus. You don't want to just keep rambling on.
You brought up a question, and I actually talked about this the other day with Chris Ford when we were talking about resumes and cover letters. We got a little bit into some of the toughest questions you had, and I felt like a tough question to field is not the "what are your strengths" one. I think everybody can figure that out and be successful with that. It's the other one. What are your weaknesses? And being able to essentially kind of flip that and turn it into a positive, because I think it's awkward to say, you know, what are your weaknesses, and you put those out there if you don't kind of frame it in the right way.
Right. So, I mean, everybody has areas they need to improve on. You know, one of the biggest blunders you can make is saying, you know, what are your weaknesses is one of the core responsibilities for the position. So, you know, you don't want to see recruiting or being organized, attention to detail. You want to stay away from those. So what I try to do is kind of maybe use like the sandwich technique. So I believe all coaches, including myself, can improve on their communication, especially public speaking and speaking in front of large audiences. So you might want to say something to the effect that, you know, I enjoy giving seminars, talking to groups, talking to parents. However, maybe early in my career, I wasn't really well prepared. I made a lot of mistakes, and I kind of, you know, fumbled through the whole process. Since that time, I've maybe taken a public speaking classes, joined up Toastmasters International. I volunteer at my church, and whenever I have an opportunity to speak in front of large groups, I raise my hand, and I'm continuing working on my public speaking and my presentation skills. So that might be one example that somebody could use.
You know, you said there's basically 10 kind of questions that coaches are going to answer. What are some of the other, I guess, tougher ones that you need to prepare for and you need to think about and have some strategies for?
So, yeah, I mean, you never know what they're going to ask, but the behavior-based questions is typically what you got to be prepared for. So whenever you hear a question that starts off with, tell me about a time. So tell me about a time when you had a difficult parent. Tell me about a time when you had a difficult student athlete. So really what they want to hear is to tell them a story. So what I would recommend is using the STAR as an acronym. So what was the situation or task? What was the action steps that you specifically took? And then the most important thing, like watching a movie, what was the results? Like the last 10 minutes of a movie kind of highlights the whole movie. So what was the big result? So situation was, I had a parent complain that their student athlete wasn't playing enough. What I did was I met with the parent after practice one day. I explained why her son wasn't playing enough. Time that he wanted, I explained that he was skipping practices, he was missing weightlifting sessions, and I explained that based on my commitment to the team and my rules and how to run a program, no one plays unless, you know, they participate in practice and weightlifts and sessions. So as I explained that to the parent, she understood, and as a result, we got back on the same page. Her son started showing up to practice on time in the weight room, and as a result, by the end of the season, he was one of my starters. And his senior year, he became captain, and he wound up getting a partial scholarship. So that would be kind of a story of a tell me about yourself. What you always want to do is try to end on a happy note. So if you're telling a story about a difficult kid or parent, you never want to get, you never want the result to be, well, you know, the kid just didn't listen, so I had to kick him off the team. So always tell a story that has a happy ending if you can.
I know the other type of question you like to prepare your interviewees for is the situational question. And this week, Butch, we talked a lot about preparation, and I feel like in a lot of ways, you might be able to anticipate some of the situational questions if you understand where that particular program or organization or team is by some of the things that they're looking to do to make a change. You maybe not all of the situationals, but at least some of them. So, you know, we talked the other day about that as an example being, you know, a lack of sportsmanship in a program, and knowing that that might be an area you might want to prepare for that. So in general, though, what kinds of things do you want to be prepared for with situational questions? And again, what's the strategy you want to use in being able to answer those?
A situational question would typically start off with, what would you do if? So what would you do if you had a coach that was cheating, or a player that was cheating, or an illegal booster, or so on. So if you have a story that you could relate to and tell that how you answered that that specific problem, that would be great. So if you can go back to the star, let me tell you about what happened in that situation, how I dealt with it in the past. Because the behavioral-based question is really, you know, if you've done something in the past, it's the best predictor of how you're behaving or the outcome in the future. So situational, you know, if you never had that situation before, really what they want to know is your methodology. So how would you handle the situation? Well, the first thing I would do is I would speak to that coach and find out what's going on. Second thing is I would reach out to my head coach or my athletic director and say, this is what I've uncovered. Third step would be give my recommendation as far as the outcome. If it was something illegal or improper, you would want to recommend, based on your investigation, termination. And then the next step would be possibly meet with the Board of Education or whoever to come to a group decision. So really, they just want to know your thought process on how you would handle that situation if it hasn't come up before.
So, Butch, once we've kind of gotten through the interview questions that the committee has for us, or that, you know, particular person we're sitting down with has for us, we usually get, in most instances, at least the ones I've been in, the opportunity to ask questions of the interviewer or of the committee. Again, I think this is an opportunity. You know, what is the opportunity at this point? And again, strategies for successfully asking questions to the interview committee.
So the worst possible thing you can say is, oh, you know, you covered it all, I have no questions. So you only get about 4 or 5 questions. So it depends. Typically, you can have, you know, multiple interviews and who you're interviewing with. A couple of things you never want to ask a question, anything about compensation, perks, benefits, anything like that. You never want to get into that during the interview. Let them bring that up when the time is right. So it's almost like a sales, like we talk about sales, whoever mentions price first loses. So stay away from anything that's a benefit to you at this point. And you never want to ask a question that you could do the research on your own. Oh, can you tell me a little bit more about how many students are at this school? So you could do that research on your own. So don't just throw away a question. It's amazing how many people I've interviewed and they've done great. And then when I ask them what questions, they lose it there and they get asking bad questions or inappropriate questions. So this is really your final opportunity to really ace the interview. So just a few questions that I like is, what would success look like a year from now? I think everybody has a different definition of success, and depending upon where the program's at, you know, might be finishing 500, it might be graduating our players. So whatever each person has a different definition of that. So what are some of the strengths you believe an ideal candidate would have for this position, or what you're looking for? Where do you see the program in the next 5 years? What do you believe are the team's strengths, weaknesses compared to the competition? Another question I like is, and maybe this is a second or third interview with the president, what keeps you up at night? I think that's a pretty impactful, powerful question, especially if you're asking a high-level athletic director or president. And then, again, like we talked about, you have to, you know, if it's a position you really want, you got to be excited. You got to tell them that you want the position. You believe you're the best candidate for the position.
As you start to wind down that process, I always felt like, again, you get into that good dialogue and you know that they're getting ready to wind up, or they ask you that final question. What are some strategies, I guess, to close, right? This is essentially a sale you're trying to make. How do you close?
If you want the job, you got to ask for it. It's amazing how many, whether coaches or even if I'm interviewing an executive position or manager, people don't ask for the job. So if you want the job, this is really what you're interested in, you got to let them know. When it's your turn to kind of wrap it up is, you know, it's been a pleasure meeting with you. I really want this coaching position. Can you tell me where we are in the process or what would be the next steps?
Butch, we've been through the process. We've closed. We've asked for the job. We leave the school, or we leave, you know, the place we've interviewed at. What steps do we take now to follow up?
So you want to try to make sure you can get everybody's business card or at least contact information with the correct spelling. And again, it might be a little thing, but I think it's a big thing. You got to follow up. At least as a minimum, send an email that night to the folks that you interviewed with. But I would also the next day or right after, excuse me, send a handwritten thank you card. I've interviewed thousands of people, probably 10,000 people, and I can count on one hand how many people have actually sent me a handwritten thank you card, and those people all got promoted or hired. So it's those little things. If two candidates are really close, it's the person that does the extra effort and takes the time to write thoughtful handwritten thank you card and follow up. I think it's, you know, could very well, you know, get you the job.
Butch, I appreciate you taking the time on the podcast to share these very valuable tips for the interview process, and hopefully it wins our listeners some jobs as they go out and handle things the right way. If our listeners want to connect with you, Butch, how can they do that?
Sure, Keith. So I have a website. It's called allprointerviews.com, or they can send me an email at butch@allprointerviews.com. Or if they want to give me a call, I'd be happy to talk with them. Give them a free 10-15-minute analysis, see where they're at. My cell phone number is 404-333-9616. And it's Butch, R-E-I-S-E-R.
And Butch, can they follow you on Twitter?
Yes, I'm on Twitter, Facebook as well. So Butch_Reiser, R-E-I-S-E-R. So, yep.
Butch, thanks again for taking the time. I appreciate this, and we're going to have some of your resources put together in our Game Plan Your Next Job manual, which we'll have up and available on our website soon.
Great. Thank you, Keith. I appreciate it.